I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 69 and Matthew chapter 14. It's good to see everybody this morning. I didn't know what to expect after got the school report, what was going on at school, because if you know Leedy, most of you do that you're here today, know Leedy. Leedy revolves around our school. We do have a great school system, thank God for that. And that's what draws a lot of people to this community as well. And so we're just going to be believing for healing and that this COVID gets out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. Because I'm ready for it to be done and gone. Just as quickly as it got started, it can quickly leave. But we started this last Sunday. By the way, last Sunday, I'm just going to confess right now. Jada, when we was on our way home, she's like, "That's the fastest message I think you've ever taught or preached." And I said, "Well, honey, I was on pain meds." So I'm blaming it on the pain meds last Sunday. This Sunday, I've weaned myself off pain meds. I don't have as much in my system now. I had a knee taken care of, a knee surgery, got my meniscus cleaned up, so I'm healed up and getting around a lot better this Sunday. So, but you know what? It's not the length of the sermon that makes a difference. It's the point. And everybody said amen. Amen. So sometimes I let you guys get out of here early. Sometimes I'm long-winded. Today, I don't know what I'll be because we haven't got started yet. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get out of here at a good time. And I don't believe in just sitting here beating the same point, you know, over and over and over for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I think as a pastor, what I'm supposed to do is teach you the full counsel of God. So not just my little pet things that I like to talk about and get in the Word about. But we've got to look at the full counsel of God. So we've got to look at all the Scriptures and study the Word of God as a whole. And so what we've been in last Sunday, and these are both standalone messages, so if you missed last Sunday, it's okay, but you can go back and watch it online. If you go to our website, hfchurch.com, we do have a podcast on there. Thanks to Travis for putting all those on there. Give Travis a big hand clap. He does a lot behind the scenes that helps us out a bunch with our sound and getting those messages online. And so they play these, like today's broadcast will be broadcasted on, or today's message will be broadcast on KECO next Sunday. And they just take what he puts online and does it like that. So that's pretty neat. But we started this last Sunday, and there's actually two, as I have been studying the Word, as I've been in my downtime, there's two passages, scriptures, about storms that Jesus came to his disciples in the storm, two of them. And one was in the book of Mark, which we studied last Sunday, and that's when Jesus was asleep in the boat on a pillow, basically. And we talked about that when the disciples woke him up. And then today is the story in Matthew chapter 14, and this is when Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and he tells his disciples to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he says, I've got to go basically fuel myself back up. I need to go pray. I need to go be with my Father. And so the Bible says that he went up in the mountain to pray, and he prayed into the night, and then he comes walking on the water. This is the story where Jesus walks on water, where he comes and walks to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to see that here in just a second. But the first passage that I want to read is Psalms chapter 69, and this is kind of our theme scripture for these two messages, and this is it in Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God." And this is basically somebody that's in a storm, and they're looking for God in a storm. And they're saying, "God, where are you at? Save me. Help me. I'm sinking." And I was just, as I was studying this, I was just thinking, right now, we're in a storm. Amen? And, you know, our nation's in a storm. There's just this storm going on everywhere. And it's affecting people personally, you know, jobs, careers, everything. And I heard a pastor say this one time, and I thought it was worth noting. He said, in life, you're either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. So life is full of storms, is what he was saying. And you may be in a storm right now, a storm of sickness, a relational storm, a financial storm, a crisis of faith storm, or what I said last Sunday, I'm going to say it again this Sunday, or a good old Western Oklahoma, what we call crap storm, okay? You may be in one of those. And you know what? God is the God of all storms, amen? And in the Bible, I'm going to stand up for just a second. I'm going to stand for a little bit and sit for a little bit. But in the Bible, the Gospels tell us of two perilous storms on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples feared for their lives. And what I want you to realize from the storm, Jesus was with them, but his presence did not instantly end the danger. And basically what I'm going to say to you, sometimes, most of the times, you know, God will come and rescue you from a storm, but a lot of times he's going to be with you through the storm and take you on to the other side, just like he did with these guys. And they were desperate for his protection, yet they were uncertain of his love. The inner storm that this caused was even worse than the storm itself, when you don't feel like God is with you. You can't hear him, you can't feel him, you can't touch him, you can't see him, and so you feel like God has ghosted you, basically. Have you ever been ghosted by someone? It means they didn't show up? Right, they didn't show up. And a lot of times in our relationship with God, we take that in our relationship with God. God, you're ghosting me. Where are you at? What are you doing? And so the perfect storm, this is where, and if you've ever seen that movie, kind of took that movie, The Perfect Storm. The perfect storm is when you know that the Lord is with you and he's working on your behalf, even if you don't see him, feel him, or hear him. That's the perfect storm. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. I want you to know that they were being obedient to what Jesus told them to do. He knew that they were going to go into a storm. Okay? He told them, you're going to go on to the other side. Verse 23, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. This was after he fed the 5,000. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Okay, I want you to understand about the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't like False Lake, all right? The Sea of Galilee, I think, is like 15 miles long, 8 miles wide. So they're halfway across the Sea of Galilee. So they're you know, 4 miles from shoreline. They're out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when this storm comes up. It says, shortly after dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. I think I would be too. And they said, it's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, take heart, be of good cheer. It is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, I love Peter here. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. All right. Now, if you notice my backgrounds, I've got to put a shout out to my brother, who's probably watching online this morning. My brother does outdoor photography, and I had him send me 3 different Western Oklahoma storms that he's taken, and so they're in these slides. So I want you to, hopefully that's eye-appealing to you guys. All right, so he gave me 3 different slides, so I've used them throughout this message. So we're going to go back through this passage, all right, and we're going to do what they call in Bible teaching, we're going to exegete this text, meaning we're going to get all the goodies, all the nuggets out of this text. And so we're going to go back and go through it line by line. Okay, here's number one. And this is going to help you in life to understand these things ahead of time. And number one is Jesus will allow us to go through storms. And what that means is even if the enemy has sent a storm into your life, it still has to go through the filter of the Father. The Father filter is what I call it. Everybody understand that? Jesus will allow us to go through storms. And it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Matthew 14, verse 22. The reason why they were going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee was because they were wanting to go minister to more people. They were being others-minded. Amen? So Jesus will allow us to go through storms. The storm, and here's what you've got to realize when you're going through a storm, and this is easier said than done, because a storm is not about you. Look at somebody and say, it's not about you. Now, in the moment that you're in a storm, it is all about you. You feel like it's all about you, but it's not all about you. It's never about you. And you have to remind yourself of that, because what will happen is if you get over into your flesh, your selfish nature, your human nature, your Adamic nature, then what happens is you start wallowing in self-pity and, oh, me or my, you can't even think about somebody else because it's all about you and the storm that I'm in. Oh, my gosh. Has anybody ever been there? I feel like I got real quiet in here all of a sudden. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the cap and the pen. And it's not fun. I understand that. And that's what storms do. They get us so focused in on ourselves that we can't see other people around us that's going through a storm as well. And it also then, but another thing that a storm can do, if you're not careful, it can make you cynical and you don't trust God. Like, God, I'm not going to trust you anymore if I can't trust you with this. And you can't do that, guys. That's what shipwrecks you in life. That's what the enemy's trying to do through a storm, is shipwreck you in life. And God can cause all storms, whether they were caused by yourself, by the enemy, or just because we live in a fallen world, God can cause all storms to work together for your good if you'll focus on him. Your focus has to be on the Lord, and we're going to look at that here and just more as we go through this. But Jesus, what you have to realize is Jesus will allow us to go through storms, and that doesn't mean that God is not a good God. Amen? Amen. These storms are preparing us for eternity. Like I said last Sunday, and I'm going to close with that again here in a little bit. I don't understand how it all works. Sometimes I feel like, God, is this boot camp down here? You know, are we just getting prepared for eternity? I think there's a little bit of truth to that. I don't understand it all. But God's working it all for our good, if we'll allow it. But we have to make those right choices and those right decisions when we're in the midst of the storm. Here's the second thing that you've got to know. First thing you got to know, you've even got to know this before you're even in a storm. Jesus will allow us to go through storms. Here's number two. He's still with you. Number two, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. He is right now, his ministry right now for us as believers is he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us as believers. And so Jesus is praying for you all the time. You have to realize that. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Matthew 14, verse 23. And I think that Jesus prays a lot of prayers like he prayed for Peter. And that was, Peter, you know, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying that your faith strengthens not only yourself, but your brothers as well. And so Jesus is praying for you. I'm telling you guys, that gives me comfort to know that Jesus is praying for you. Your pastor may not be praying for you all the time, but know that Jesus is. Yes. Amen? And by the way, I do pray for you guys, all right? Prayed for you this morning on the way in. Pray that you'd stay awake and listen to this message. Yeah, there is a lot of truth to that. All right, number three, pray that I would be exciting enough to keep you awake. All right, number three is the perfect storm of number three is this. Going forward in obedience is always better than going back in disobedience. Okay, look at somebody and say, you need to keep going forward. All right, because these guys were already halfway across the lake, and they were being obedient to what God had told them to do. And I'm sure they're like, did he really say to go the other side? Then why is he still over there? You know, I'm sure all those thoughts, that's what I'd be thinking. If I'm out there been battling a storm for 6 hours or 9 hours, how long they've been out there battling a storm. And they didn't have trolling motors or the mercury outboard or whatever you want to call it. They've got oars. They are wore out. And I would have been saying, I've been thinking, you know what? Now I know why Jesus stayed on the bank. You know, let's go back to where he's at. Let's go pray with Jesus. But they were going forward in obedience because that's what Jesus told them to do. Is always better than going back in disobedience. You can see this all through Scripture. When God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was telling them to go forward. And as they got out there, they started murmuring and complaining. And in that storm of the wilderness, they got focused in on themselves, and they wanted to go back. The Bible teaches that. They said they would like to go back and be in slavery. At least they had 3 square meals a day and all this kind of stuff. And going, this number three, this is a trick of a storm that the enemy tries to trick us in is to, is in the middle of the storm, start getting disobedient to God. And so you got to keep going forward in obedience to whatever God's told you to do is always better than going back in disobedience. And it says number three there, says, but the boat by this time was a long way from the shore or from land, beaten by the waves. We know it was halfway across the sea at this time, for the wind was against them. In Matthew 14, verse 24. All right, here's number four of the perfect storm. There's never a moment when the presence of God is far from us. We'll say that again. There is never a moment when the presence of God is far from us. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll see this in Scripture as you study Scripture about the different watches of the night. God is God of all watches of the day. All right? Because I've even had believers tell me, well, you know, that those hours between 3, because the fourth watch of the night, and I believe this is why it's in there in this story, the fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And I've even heard believers say that, well, that's the time the devil comes out. That's the devil's playground time. No, it's not. God owns every watch of the night, every watch of the day, and every watch of the night. And everybody said, it says in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, walking on it. There's never a moment when the presence of God is far from us. Don't ever believe that lie from the enemy that God is not with you when you're in a storm, because he is there with you. All right, here's number five. Our focus has to stay on Jesus. This is a huge one in a storm. Our focus has to stay on Jesus. It says, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Matthew 14, verse 26. Whenever we start feeling like that God has ghosted us is when our focus is on the storm and not on the Lord. I'm going to say that again. When we feel like God has ghosted us, that's when you know. If you start having the thoughts, God's ghosted me, God's nowhere around me. Is that, y'all hearing that? Is that bugging you, like me? I don't know what that is. It's weird. Mike is like, it don't bother me none. Let me get back to what I was talking about. Our focus has to stay on Jesus. When you start having the thoughts that God has ghosted me, that's a sure sign that your focus is on the storm and not on the Lord. Okay? So then you have to remind yourself, no, God is with me. God is for me. God's not against me. And I got to keep my focus on him. Don't ever believe the lie that God has ghosted you, because he's not. Look at somebody and say, God has not ghosted you. Okay, number six, we have to remember who Jesus is and allow his words to comfort us. Number six, we have to remember who Jesus is and allow his words to comfort us. And it says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. All right, that's the first thing that Jesus said. He reveals his deity. It is I am, the great I am. Do not be afraid. And he says, take heart or take courage. So we have to remember who Jesus is and allow his words to comfort us. When you're in a storm, what you need to get into is the word of God and let his words bring comfort to you. All right, here's number seven. Everybody learning something this morning? Yes. As we go through this storm. Number seven says, never allow your storm to cause you to doubt God's goodness or lose faith in God's power. We'll say that again. Never allow your storm to cause you to doubt God's goodness or lose faith in God's power. I'm going to leave that up there for just a second. Never allow your storm to cause you to doubt God's goodness or lose faith in God's power. And I'm going to show you something in this passage that's pretty neat. Matthew 14, verses 28 through 30 says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water, he said. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible, Lord, save me. And Jesus answered that prayer. By the way, you don't have to pray long prayers. You can pray short, simple prayers. And you need to teach your kids to do that. Teach your kids to pray those little short prayers. They can pray those anywhere at any time. But a lot of times when you hear this taught or preached about, you know, the storm, and most of you, if you've been in church any length of time or Sunday school growing up, you've heard this story about Peter walking on the water. and it's usually taught about Peter's faith, Peter's great faith. Peter, you know, he stepped out of the boat, he walked on water, but we have to realize, yeah, but he sank too, right? And as I was studying this, I just, I was like, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach us through this, that Peter did, he did get out of the boat. I mean, he did walk on the water. That's miraculous. And this is how the Lord ministers to me, okay, when I study the Word of God. God's got a sense of humor. He really does. And God makes me laugh a lot when I'm studying, because I'll see something like I've never seen that before, and it just had never dawned on me before. And so when I was studying this part, I knew that, man, this is where I really need to hone in on. And I just, as I was studying this, the Lord said, Mark, look at that, read that again. So I read it again. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord just tapped me on the shoulder and said, Mark, it was not my idea for Peter to get out of the boat. I let him. I allowed him, because he said, Lord, if it's you. It was Peter's idea. Peter's like, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. Come on. Come on out here. So Jesus gave him permission and power to walk on water. That's what I want you to see. Here's the other thing I want you to see at this. It has nothing to do with Peter. This storm has nothing to do with Peter. But what this storm has to do with, or his great faith or anything, what it has to do with is the object of Peter's faith was the Lord Jesus Christ. His focus was right. So when I was sitting there studying this, I was like, man, that's pretty cool. I mean, Peter, none of the other guys got out of the boat. He got out of the boat and he walked on water. And then like my logic side of the brain was like, but he sank. And my other side of my brain is going, but he walked on water. My other side of my brain is going, but he sank. And the other side of my brain is going, but he walked on water. But the other side of my brain, now you're starting to track with me, right? What my other side of my brain was doing, but he sank. But my other side of the brain, he walked on water. None of you are getting laughing yet. I want you to laugh. So this is what was going on while I was studying this. I was like, Lord, but he walked on water, but he sank. He walked on water, but he sank. But he walked on water, but he sank. And then finally the Holy Spirit said, are you not getting it yet? And I was like, man, I ain't. I'm sinking here, Lord. Lord, save me. And the Holy Spirit said, Mark, that's life. There's going to be times you're walking on water and there's going to be times that you sink. But guess what? I'm right there to keep your head above the waterline. Amen. To keep you from drowning. Yeah. And I was like, Lord, that is cool. And so what he was saying through this whole text, it says, Mark, this is all about my grace for my people. My grace is always sufficient. Amen. I'm not going to let you sink. No. So, man, I was just like, man, that just gave me chicken skin right there. All right, that was worth coming to church for, wasn't it? Amen. All right, here's number 8. Our storms have the potential to open our eyes to the power of God. I guarantee you, Peter's eyes were open that day. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And that's in Matthew 14, what we just read in 31, verses 31 through 32. And Jesus, the main thing that he was trying to get across to the disciples when they first saw him, even though Peter was the one that said, hey, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. What you got to look at what Jesus said. He said, take courage, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. And so what he was wanting them to have, and what God wants us all to have in storms of life, is to have courage. And to have heart and to know and not be afraid, don't give in to fear, and to know that the Lord is with us. The Lord is with me. He wants you to know that. So our storms have the potential to open our eyes to the power of God. Okay, here's the last thing for today. The last thing that we're going to glean from this text is our storms have the potential to open others' eyes to the power of God. Because immediately it says, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they saw Peter walk on water and they knew that it wasn't Peter walking on the water, it was because he had his focus on Jesus, his focus on the Lord. And then when he got his eyes off of Jesus is when he began to sink, but the Lord saved him. And then when he got in the boat, the wind ceased and everything, the storm stopped, they just began to worship the Lord. The object of their faith was Jesus. Does everybody see that? That's when they began to worship. And so our storms have the potential to open others' eyes to the power of God. Those disciples, all of them, all of their eyes were opened to the power of God. And when you're going through a storm, you have to remember it's not about me, God, if you can, as you grow in your faith, what God wants you to begin to do is say, Lord, teach me. I know you're with me, but help me to see if there's, you know I'm in a storm right now, but I don't want to get my eyes off, you know, you and onto something else and on myself. And God, help me to see people around me that may be going through the same storm so I can help them. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You may not be able to do it immediately, but as you go through a storm, God wants you to learn things about yourself and about Him so that you can pass it on to others, that revelation on to others. Jade and I, we've went through a storm of our son going home to be with the Lord. We've been able to minister to lots of people over the years because of that. And you know, one of them was, she's probably watching online this morning, is Carmen Nance. And she doesn't realize it, but as we ministered to her, she was ministering to us. And it's so awesome, you know, how God can take a tragic storm that you didn't sign up for, because we live in a fallen world, and He can cause all things in that storm to work together for the good, and somehow it's preparing us for eternity, and somehow we can help others that are going through that same storm as well in life. God is so good and so gracious. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, and I ended last week with this scripture, and I'm going to end today with this. I just said it is because I don't understand it all, even as a pastor, but the Apostle Paul said, for our light and momentary troubles, or our storms, they're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so our storms are somehow mysteriously preparing us for eternity. Amen? Amen. And you know what, guys? When I look out here Sunday morning, I never take this for granted. Is when I look out here on Sunday mornings, I look at everybody, I see my dad and Judy on the front row, and see all of you guys sitting out there, and I know this, is we're in the here and now, the nasty here and now, going through storms, but one of these days we're going to be together in all of eternity and looking at each other like, man, I'm so glad I hung on. Man, I'm so glad, you know, that you taught me that. I hope you say that. I'm so glad you taught us that so that we could, you know, and God is so good. We're going to be in eternity together. Just think about it. See Law, let that think in. I'm going to get to see Travis every day instead of just on Sunday. Amen. God is so good. I'm telling you guys. And I'm looking forward to it. But I know the storms that we go through, they stink in life. But what I'm trying to help us all to realize this, and I'm just as guilty as anybody, we can all sit around and suck our thumb and sing Kumbaya, and sometimes I've done that, you know, like, Lord, help me. Lord, help me help myself. But the moment that I get, you know, and say, Lord, my focus is on you, my focus is not going to be on myself, and as soon as I get my focus on Him, He starts helping me see other people that's going through the same storm and ministering to them. And I don't know how He does it, but somehow it brings healing to you. You know, God is so good when we can get our focus on Him and on other people instead of the storm. So don't focus on the storm, focus on Him. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We do this every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church. And because the Bible says in Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just like Peter did, Lord, save me. That's that simple prayer. And basically, that's the prayer that I'm going to lead you in today. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. I'm going to speak a blessing over you and your families. I just encourage you to stay safe and stay healthy as well. And do the things that you need to do and the social distancing, keep your hands washed, all those good things. And let's get this Rona out of here. Amen. All right, I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And remember, in that perfect storm, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the perfect storm.